Training in your righteousness. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question. Why do we talk to each other? Huh? For fellowship, okay. Communication. What else? What other reasons would we talk to each other? Encourage each other. Information. Okay. But in every case, it's to evoke or receive a specific response or data or information that we require, right? Even in an argument, even if we're trying to prove a point, we're trying to receive something back from what we are communicating, speaking. And we've all heard that adage, you know, you attract sweeter flies to honey more than vinegar, something like that. I just botched that up. But it's something like that. But it's also, there's a purpose for what we do. And we're going to talk about how we speak. And this is maybe the strangest message you've ever heard, but it's the Word of God. And we're going to go get into that. Colossians 3:16 says this. Do we have it up there? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So, let his word dwell in you richly with wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's a mouthful. Because Paul is telling us, one, let the word of God dwell in us. Let it be active in our lives. To dwell means it's inhabiting. It's found its home. It's found its place of being, right? That it's a part of who you are, not what you do. Because when it's a part of who you are, what you do flows naturally out of who you are. So sometimes, you know, we have to fake things till we make it, fake it till you make it. We may need to fake it by declaring it enough times to where we finally made it and it becomes of who we are. Where we go from consciously thinking about it to a natural overflow or outflow. Because of what we are. Okay? But let's go to the beginning for a second. Let it dwell richly in you in all wisdom. And we talked in the past about wisdom. Wisdom is having knowledge, but then knowing how, when, where, what form to use that knowledge in the perfect time. And that comes from the wisdom of God, from direction from the Holy Spirit. And then we get into teaching and admonishing. And that's what we're going to talk about. But I want to take an even step further back. Proverbs 18:21 says this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So what does that mean? That means the words that I speak from my mouth can kill, hurt, destroy, or can heal, build, edify, equip. And those who eat it, those who love it will eat its fruit. So if I am going to choose that out of my mouth to come the bitter fruit that leads to death and destruction in my verbal communication with another human being, that's just going to build. We've all been around people who, the term we used to use is trucker's mouth. I don't think that's a term prevalent anymore, but you know who I'm talking to or about. people who every other word is a four-letter word, right? Every other, it's negative, it's condemning. They're always complaining. They're always crying out against something. They're never building. That does not happen overnight. They've eaten enough of that fruit, whether it's been presented to them for a long time or they've just been indulging at the table of that fruit for so long that that's all they know. That's all they know. But then you have people who don't talk like that, who are naturally encouraging, empowering, who are building. In Scripture, Barnabas, the one who traveled with Paul, his name literally means son of encouragement. That's why when Paul got upset at John Mark for walking out on them, Barnabas wanted to rebuild him, reestablish him. Paul was like, no, I'm not taking him with me. He let us down once. I'm not taking that chance again. But Barnabas was true to his name's meaning. He was an encourager. He wanted to build John Mark back up into his potential. Neither was right or wrong. It was what it was. Paul knew what he had to do and did not want anyone to distract from that focus. But Barnabas knew his calling as an encourager. So he was reestablishing the position that John Mark lost. But either way, they will eat of its fruit, whether you speak life or you speak death. As Christians, what are we supposed to do? As sons and daughters of God, we're supposed to heal, right? A healthy kingdom is a flourishing kingdom. A healthy life is a flourishing life. A healthy mind is a free mind. A healthy heart is a pure heart. Okay? Isn't that our role? When he says heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse the leper, all that, that's to produce health. Jehovah Rapha, sometimes we think, you know, God our healer. Yes, that's part of it, but it's literally God our health. He is health to be healed. He is the one who heals. And he is the essence of the purity of what healing is all about. The fullness of what healing looks like. A healthy mind, a healthy heart, a healthy body, healthy spirit. Jesus was the Word of God, right? The Word became flesh. The spoken heart revelation of God was the embodiment of Jesus. What did Jesus do? He spoke to heal. Some chose not to be healed. Some chose to come against the words of life. And those he had to curse. Those he had to cut out. Those he had to rebuke. He did not want the presence of words of death to hinder the healing that God's heart has for all of those who come to know him as his sons and daughters. He was coming against that. And anyone that prevents me from running to my daddy to find wholeness and healing, Jesus was going to shut their mouth. He was going to cut them off. And he did. He did, because he was the Word of God. If God represents health, Jehovah Rapha health, Jesus was representing the direction to receive that health, the way to receive that health. And anything that came against that, he wanted to shut it out. In Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, repeats a similar thing, but I want to explain it a little deeper. He says, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation. I want to stop there. Wine is a spirit, and wine is a representation of outside influences. Don't get drunk on outside influences that are not of God. And how we can know this is dissipation. In Greek and in any definition of a dictionary, you will find, in this case, specifically means a downward descent into debauchery, into a negative lifestyle, an unhealthy lifestyle, a harmful lifestyle. Dissipation means I'm making choices, I'm allowing the influences of the spirits of the world or the things of the world to take me down a lifestyle that was unhealthy. And it's unhealthy because it's apart from the Spirit of God. It's apart from who God is. I spent a year of my life backsliding. And this is after I went to seminary. I got 2 master's degrees in religious education and counseling. I was a youth pastor, a children's pastor, but I let the environment around me take me away from that for a whole year. I had a hard time going to church. And the first time I went to church, they were having communion, and the shame and the guilt that was over me was so much I couldn't take it. But that's debauchery. That's that downward descent. It didn't happen overnight. It happens with small steps that you take where all of a sudden, 6 months down the road, you're looking back and going, oh my gosh, look how far I've gone. And it's just eaten away at you. He's saying, don't be drunk. Don't be influenced so much by the things of this world, by the way people are around you, that leads you into a descent of hurtful lifestyle. Don't let the influences of others, don't let how your neighbors are acting. And just because you're in an environment where everyone might be using four-letter words or gossiping or demeaning one another, don't be in that position unless you are there to influence. Because if you're not there specifically called to influence, you don't belong there. And only very few of us are called to be in there to influence. We have to have that special anointing to be in there to make a difference, not be taken advantage of by the spirit around us. I'm going to just call it out here. If you're going to the bars, if you're partying, if you're hanging out with people you shouldn't be hanging out with, even family members. It's a decision we have to make. Because look in my life, I can come and be super Christian at church, but in that lifestyle, in that environment, is it healthy for me? Is it healing for me? Is there healing? Is this next drink or next smoke or this next activity or this next place I'm going to, is that going to produce that? So it's saying, don't be influenced by that. Instead, be filled with the Spirit of God, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Same thing as Colossians. He's repeating that. So let's talk about this for a second. You know what psalms are? Psalms are scriptures to lyrics. Psalm 5, give ear to my words, O Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Those songs that we used to sing, songs we sing today, that's scripture songs. And that's, how do you think historically the Hebrews carried the truths of God? They took the events that took place and they put music to them to magnify God. Scripture songs. Hymns are humanly inspired lyrics in a song. So they're not necessarily word-for-word scripture, but they're influenced by your heart for God. They're influenced by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God in us. And we put them to music. When we sing, I love you, Lord, I love you, I love you, that's a hymn in a way. Most of us identify hymns as this, a hymn book, which is exactly, in pure definition, words that are to music that are inspired by the heart of God in man. But hymns come from the heart And then there are spiritual songs, which are impromptu rhythmic lyrics given by the Holy Spirit and with understanding in English, for those that speak English, Spanish, and those of us who speak Spanish, or any other language that you're native to, or you feel like singing it in, as well as in tongues, in the Spirit. And they're just natural. As you are worshiping, they're just welling up in you, and you just start impromptu worshiping. And they're just coming out. And you, as a musician, sometimes when that happens to me, I want to take my phone and start recording it, but I forget to do that because I want to add something to them. But, you know, it's just welling up. So he's saying, instead of letting that influence you when you are with others, how should your time and talk and vocalization and coming together look like? He's saying, instead, when you are together, speak to each other in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs. That does not mean we turn every environment we go to into a musical. Okay? It's not a musical. I'm not going to walk into work and just, you know, prance and start singing a song. That's not what we're talking about. But let the melody of your heart for the Lord, let the melody of your heart for the Lord, let it come through in this way. You don't have to go, "For God so loved the world." You know, I mean, no. You're just letting your heart's love for God come through a melody that way. So we're going back to Colossians 3. I'm going to read 14 through 17 this time, which includes what we read earlier. "But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of God, word of Christ, dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." I don't care how bad your voice sounds, God hears the song of your heart, and he thinks it's beautiful when you do it his way. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do in all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So let's break this down for a second. Verse 14 says, "But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." We read in 1 John 4:8, God is love. So what are you doing when you put on love, which is perfection? You're putting on God. The presence of God is in you. You are going into situations, encounters. You are dealing with people. How many of us have been so mad at somebody and we just want to walk in, bust open their bedroom door or walk in the living room or wherever they are and just tell them off? Is that putting on God? Putting on God says, I stop, I pray, I don't move till I have the right heart. Because again, what was my first question to you? Why do we talk to each other? To receive a specific result. What result is going to happen if I walk in yelling and screaming? Am I going to accomplish anything or just annoy the other person, make them feel bad, then they're going to make me feel bad, and did we accomplish anything? But if I put on love, and when I fully have love on me, fully have love on me, then walk in and say, "Listen, can I talk to you?" That spirit of love is going to break through. Remember, it's the atmosphere of heaven that flows out of us when we put on his love, right? Because God is love. That means where he is, love is there. Love is honest. But you can say and speak honestly in love, truthfully in love, and it'll be received in love. It may not feel good either way, but you know what? It's better to receive a tap than a hammer upside the head. Much better to receive that. Put on love. Love is perfect. It's foundational. Look at Colossians 4:6. It says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt to bring the most out of it. Salt extracts the most flavor out of things, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. Seasoned with grace. Let grace flow in and out of everything, your encounter with each other. Grace cannot if I have not put on love. Because grace comes from the heart of God. And that's the putting on love. That's putting on love. That's I'm clothed in his righteousness. That's putting on love. Let it be seasoned with grace. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule your hearts. I think one of the most amazing revelations God has ever given me, he gave me about a month ago, and I shared this with you in the past, that in the New Testament, the word peace literally means to reconcile heaven with earth. Sometimes we think of peace as just a calm. Let's just stop fighting. But that doesn't mean you've reconciled the issue. Peace means the heart of heaven, what God has established in heaven, is actually healing the wounds of earth and uniting the heart of earth or man or to what God wants. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers, the ones who say, hey, this is what God's heart is in this situation. Let's all of us go to God and get his peace that passes all understanding, that reconciles it, that makes it right. No matter what the situation is, let's get that. So he says here, let the peace of God rule your hearts. Let your motivation be to reconcile what God's heart to the situation. It's not about who's right or wrong. There's only one right person, and that's God. He's the only one who knows the truth. And the job isn't to prove you wrong or you prove me wrong. It's to get right before God. Make it right. And let his peace, because he is who? He is the healer. He is the God of health. And when we make it right through him, in him, we're not in dissipation being influenced by the things of the world, the influences of the world. The things around us, including my emotions. Let's talk about that for a second. Where do heated emotions come from? At the very core, they come from expectations. Unmet expectations lead to hurt. Hurt leads to frustration. Frustration turns into anger, and anger becomes volatile. That's how it goes. Because remember, all emotion begins with a thought. Every thought is behind every emotion we feel. You may not realize it because it comes like that. But it happens that way. So what happens? I expect my wife to do something. Or she expects me to do something, naturally. It's not done. Now I'm hurt. I might feel rejected. I might feel like I'm not being heard. I'm not respected. I can go on and on with what I might feel like. Then the more I dwell on those thoughts, I'm going to begin to feel hurt. And then my hurt is going to be frustration. And my frustration is that just continues to build because in that state, why? Because I'm not letting the healer heal. I'm not reconciling it with him, putting on love and letting peace dwell within me, is to snowballing into anger. Anger could snowball into rage, and rage leads us into dissipation. That's the outgrowth of those things. But when from the very beginning I put on love and I clothe myself in peace, dwell in peace, I'm going, okay, God, where are you in this? Where are you in this situation? I don't want to be right. And I may be wrong, but it really doesn't matter. I want to know where you are. I want your thoughts. I want your heart. And believe me, as I'm sharing these things with you, I'm learning this as well. I'm not preaching at you, I'm growing with you. Let peace rule your hearts. That's unity. Let your heart unite with heaven's heart. And then verse 16. Let the word of God dwell richly in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing in one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We already talked about what those are, songs, hymns, spiritual songs, psalms. But I want to talk about something here. Let's talk about the word admonishing, because that's the issue here. Sometimes we mistakenly can't think of the word right now, but replace the word rebuke with admonish. Admonish does not mean the same thing as rebuke. The core of the word admonish in Greek, in this text, is warn or reprimand firmly. And the emphasis is on a stern warning. If you do this, this is going to happen. To advise or urge earnestly, to exhort or counsel. It's basically a really heavy warning. It's kind of like God, when He established blessings and curses. If you do this my way, here are my blessings. But if you choose to do this, this, and this, and do things your way, then here is how the cursings will come about. This is God admonishing His people in love. Because see, when God admonishes us, there's always a way out. Okay? He does not rebuke to punish. He admonishes to say, there's another way that I've created for you to get out of this situation. You're not backed into a corner. And if you think you are, look up. There's a ladder right behind you to get out. So when He's talking about admonishing each other with spiritual songs, with hymns, with psalms, what He's saying is, the Word of God is the Word of God. It is truth. It is life. It is Jesus. And that is your way out of this situation. The answer to what you are dealing with is in His Word. Reflect back to His Word. If you don't know where you're going, go back to the Word of God. If you're not sure what to do, go back to the foundation of the Word of God. If you don't know what to feel, go back to the Word of God. When you're speaking to each other, that's if you are in a place where you're having a hard time spiritually discerning what the Holy Spirit might be saying, you know what? It's laid out foundationally and grounded for you in His Word. So go back to the Word of God. And let that begin to grow, come out of you. What did David do? He sang psalms when he was in a rough place. He wrote psalms. He wrote hymns. He sang spiritual songs. When Paul was in prison, what did he do? He sang. He sang spiritual songs. He worshiped and singing and declaring the Word of God in song and in Scripture. When there was no way out to the natural, there was always a way out in the spiritual. So He's saying, I admonish you when you admonish each other. Because really, what we're doing is we're encouraging each other by warning each other. It's saying, if you go down this path, it's going to be dangerous. Here's your way out. This is what the Word of God says. You know, when someone says to you, I've fallen out of love with my spouse. I think I want to leave them. I want a divorce. I don't feel love for them. I don't love them anymore. Well, let's go back to the Word of God. The very basic is, what is love? Love is not a feeling. It's an unconditional stance of commitment. So you go back to that and you begin from there. This week I was dealing with somebody on the phone regarding deliverance, and this person's been through so many things and feels like she's being attacked constantly and has gone through people who've tried to deliver her and everything. And I simply said, well, have you ever repented for opening the door for those things to come in and have a stronghold in your life? She said, no. Sometimes we can get so up here that we forget to go down back to the basics. I know whenever I know a spirit's attacking me and it has a stronghold, one of the ways my wife and I have learned to walk through deliverance and to cast that thing out is to go back to where that door was opened, where I allowed a thought to enter in, or something that I put myself in or allowed to have happen that created room for this thing to come in and have a place in my life, have legal right to me. So before I cast it out, I have to shut the door so it stops coming in. And that's basic, because how do we get to spiritual health? By repenting. Simply by repenting. So sometimes we can get caught up in so much technical Christian stuff that we just go back to the Word of God and go back to basics. Admonish each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, which is His Word. And His Word reflected out of being clothed in His love and dwelling in His peace. And this then becomes an outflow of it. And when I carry that, that does not necessarily mean I'm going to walk in a situation and boom, the situation is taken care of in that second. But what it means is we're creating space and an atmosphere for God to reveal His love and reveal His truth and reveal Himself and His heart in it. It may mean that, okay, we at this point have to agree to disagree, but we're going to go and pray and seek Him out. Because guess what? I'm not trying to prove you wrong so I can feel like I was right, and you're not trying to prove me wrong so you can feel like you're right. There's no pride in this. We want to dwell in peace that comes from the heart of God, that reconciles His heart to our hearts today, right here, right now. Verse 17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God of our Father. Listen to this. He says, whatever you do in word and deed, do all. Sometimes we attach the word do to physical actions. This word do is saying what you say and what you act. So your words to one another, do them in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Remember, we're supposed to operate from a place of victory, not trying to seek victory. So when I do this in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm doing it in His strength with His peace that He gave me. Not as the world gives me, but that he gave me, that I'm carrying in his authority, that I'm carrying. His words were words to bring healing. The words and the actions that flow out of me are meant to restore healing to a situation that has been infected by something not of God. When there is hurt, when there is anger, when there is bitterness, when there is frustration, when there is a lack of healthy communication in families, there is a spiritual infection that needs to be healed that cannot be healed without Christ, without his word, without psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs being declared in lifestyle and in word. It can't be healed without his heart. We're learning that. And I'm sharing with you what we are learning. Our speech, how we talk. Go back to Proverbs. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. It's not always what you say, but it's how you say it. But it's more than just how you say it. It's the heart you bring as we say it. It's the attitude I carry of humility because I am walking in love. I put on love and I'm dwelling in peace. And I am coming at the very end here of verse 17 says, giving thanks. I'm giving a thankful heart. Why am I thankful? Because I know if I'm put on love, if I'm dwelling in peace, if I'm doing things his way, there's already an answer. I'm just searching it out. So I'm already giving thanks for the health that's upon it, the healing that's upon it, because it's there. I just have to search it out. I haven't been able to see it yet or receive it yet because we haven't positioned ourselves to receive it. But then when we come together and it kind of goes back to where two or more are gathered, Christ is there. That's another example of his presence changing things. He influences the situation for his kingdom because heaven's heart is uniting with our hearts. Our hearts are tuned into him. And we'll close in this. Matthew 5:18, Jesus says, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. What that says to me is before we let a word come out of our mouth, let our hearts be reconciled with his heart. It does not matter if the other person or persons in whatever the situation is, if they've reconciled it. It's my job to do it. And then I am empowered to get in there and change the atmosphere. I can walk in there and my tongue, because of his word that flows out of it, his love that emanates through me, his humility that is within me, his peace that I walk in there with, will change the atmosphere. And you know what's going to happen when the atmosphere changes? Some are going to receive it and walk in it. Others are going to run away from it. And that's okay. That's okay. Because our job is to be the peacemaker, to reconcile God's heart with what's going on. Some are going to choose to receive God's heart, some aren't. And that's okay. My job is to carry his presence in such a way to do that, to speak in those powerful words of truth and love. So just think about how we talk to each other. Think about how we talk to our families, our spouses, our children, the people around us. Think about where we are. If we're at work, are we talking differently? If we're around the boys or the girls, hanging out with them, are we, what are we doing? Is our speech that much different because of what we carry? God has so much for us when we do this, when we do things His way. Lord, teach us. Lord, teach us. Stand up with me, please. Just position yourself to receive right now. Lord, teach us. Holy Spirit, teach us. Let's just go back to basics right now. As the Holy Spirit reveals things we may have done, said, how we were, whatever situation that arise. I'm feeling right now it might even be painful to admit for some of us. Just simply press into that. That's God revealing what He wants to heal. He heals you before He heals the situation. Just say, Jesus, thank you for revealing this to me. And I repent right now of it. I repent for my heart's position in it. Because that's what led to the action and the words. And I thank you for showing me, Lord, right now, how you are in this and what you want for me in this and us. Holy Spirit, help me to be mindful and aware of myself and my attitude when I walk into these things, that I will catch myself before I allow the enemy to get a stronghold there, to get a foothold. And I will just get on my knees and get to your altar and give it to you and wait till I have put on your love and I am dwelling in your peace. And my heart is a thankful heart. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. And may my actions flow out of your wellspring, from your living water that's flowing out of me. So I ask right now, just baptize me right now in your living water. Come, come water of God. Come water of God. Thank you, Lord. What we're going to do today is just let the healer do his healing and bring us to where we need to be. We're just going to let you worship. Altar's open. Come forward to the altar, or you can stay where you are, whatever you feel you need to do. When we're done, we're done. You're free to go whenever you feel you've been released by the Holy Spirit. Just want to take time to let the healer heal right now.